Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome along. We've got a post-election pre-World Cup podcast for you now. We're going to go through some of the grueling schedule. Looking forward to this one. It's going to be grueling. I'm going to go to bed at, what was it, 4 in the morning after Scotland, Haiti, and have to be up an hour later to watch Argentina, no, Australia against...
Yeah, Turkey.
Turkey, yeah. It's going to be grey faces a week into the World Cup. Well, good news for a couple of politicians I could mention. You could do a terrible job for 2 years and still win a landslide election.
Who'd have thought?
So Florentino Perez wins. The upstart, the usurper, was defeated. And you were telling me, Terry, there's a bit of people annoyed with Raquel Mifa standing.
Well,
exactly. It's a democracy. You're supposed to... That's how democracies work. You're supposed to be allowed to stand against him, aren't you? But the Real Madrid, actually, so he won comfortably. He won 33,000 votes to 11,000 votes, roughly. But the other bit of math, it's like 100,000 members.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of missing votes, isn't it? So I don't know. Why would you be a member and then not vote?
Exactly. I saw a lot of results with the percentages. But then when I saw the number of votes, that was my first thought. There's half the people are missing.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if you're a socio or member, whether that gives you automatic voting rights. I don't know if there's another. I would imagine so, though.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the conclusion to make. So if that just around 50,000 people voted, 50,000 didn't. There is a line. Yes, Florentino Perez won. But there is a line that it's not a magnificent victory by any means, in the fact that Raquel may, in the short space of time, 10 days to actually get his application in, and then 14-day period to be the candidate and to put together his plan and his thoughts and ideas to canvass people. He did ask for three head-to-heads. That didn't happen. Debates, that didn't happen. Not one happened. And yet people are saying, how dare you? It's like
it should
Perez.
Be a debate, shouldn't there? If you're having an election, it's perfectly reasonable to expect the guy, everyone standing, to stand up there and answer some questions about what they'll do when they win the election.
As opposed to someone just saying, I've done it for 20 years, This is what I do.
Yeah, I've won nothing for 2 years.
Exactly. And we finished the season with the cameras trying not to focus on Florentino Perez in the Bernabeu, because every time it did, he got booed and jeered and whistled. So as soon as he did that press conference and he announced the election, people kind of thought there's no one to take him on. And it was kind of a hissy fit from Florentino Perez, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they weren't winning a trophy again, and because he'd gone to a few games at the Bernabeu and was jeered and booed and whistled. And one of the games we saw him actually arguing with people in the stand in front of the presidential box. So it was like, I dare you, you know? Mm. And this guy came forward. And I'm surprised at the criticism that the Raquel took, because up until then he was... insignificant. He hadn't put himself in the firing line. He hadn't done it before. No one had done it for 20 years. So I'm surprised he was written off, and it was almost like, how dare you go against Florentino Perez? Which is, if you know, there are issues with Real Madrid that I mean, I think in particular the external investment is a, I don't know whether it's still going to happen, but he was talking about a 5% external investment from an outside company. That if I was a member of Real Madrid and it's been run for all these years, then I'd be against that. Real Madrid don't need external investment.
Yeah, they don't need
Just
a bit more
don't.
money, do they?
No. I mean, they make their money just by being Real Madrid, and they make a lot of money just by being Real Madrid. So I don't see the need. So that would be a concern if I was a voter. I'm not. I respect the fact that people have voted for Florentino Perez again. I understand the reasons why, but it's almost like a fear of that it won't be Real Madrid if Florentino Perez isn't the president. And it's going to have to, it'll happen at one stage.
Well, we're 79,
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you know, again, with all due respect to all the 79-year-olds who are listening to us, which is, I think, zero, there comes a point at which you're not at your sharpest anymore, and might want to think about moving on. I suppose what Riquelme might have done, we all know him now, is plans. They were a bit wild. It was a little bit kind of today, Jurgen Klopp, tomorrow, you know, I'm
It was
bringing.
a Hail Mary, wasn't it? He obviously knew he was didn't have the chance of a debate. He obviously knew that Florentino Perez was a heavy favourite and just chucked the Hail Mary in. It really literally was that, wasn't it? Vote for me, I'll get Jurgen Klopp as manager and I'll buy Erling Haaland.
And Lev Yashin in goal and Pele. And, you
And
know.
it kind of made him look a little bit, I wouldn't say ridiculous, I wouldn't go that far because we've heard it in the past.
We knew exactly what it
In
was.
the past,
That's the
yeah.
thing, is that you sort of think, yeah, mate, you just.
There was a couple of photos of him with Erling Haaland and Alvinga Haaland. And at first you think, oh, there is a connection. But then I thought, I've had my picture taken with people that I've never seen again. But that they could use in a campaign at some stage to say, I'm going to bring back old 5'4" centre forwards. Look, there's a picture of me with Terry Gibson 20 years ago. It's so that kind of, I brushed that off.
He should spend the next period of time, though, building his profile, building a proper campaign, and telling us what he would actually do with Real Madrid.
He said he's going to be the opposition in the shadows, but I don't know what that will allow him to do. He'll probably have his season ticket taken off him now. So he'd be very much in the shadows if
Cancel
I
his
imagine.
membership so he can't stand next time. Or make it that you can't stand unless you're at least 80 years old. And
So it's interesting, and also, I mean, it's the debate would have been useful. I mean, Florentino Perez. So now we're going to get Jose Mourinho, and tomorrow they're going to buy a player for 150 million euros, apparently. And they're talking about Elise
But I mean, does Elise get a say?
or Bayern Munich. And Bayern Munich don't have to sell.
No.
I mean, they won the Bundesliga again. They probably want to improve in the Champions League, but there was improvement this season. So they again, like they don't have a say.
So also, when I read the London press, it's like that Enzo Fernandez is definitely going. So,
Yeah, he wants to, I think. I'm not sure they're keen on that. But we don't know now. We don't know. Now Jose Mourinho is going to be announced today or tomorrow. It kind of fits the bill for a Jose Mourinho midfield player. But I don't think it's the type that they need.
So who would you? Because Bernardo Silva linked, Rodri is linked. Out of that lot, who do they
Now,
need?
both of those would be different to what they've got. They do need to do something different because what they've been doing the last 2 years hasn't worked. So it does need something different. Is Jose the right person to do that? I have my doubts, to be honest. And it's so, but it's going to be fun watching it, that's for sure. It's going to be more intense next year, as opposed to Hansi Flick against Xabi Alonso, for instance, and Ancelotti and Arbeloa. It's going to be Hansi Flick against Jose Mourinho. It's going to be intense. Jose will do whatever he can to get under their skin. Is that what's needed at Real Madrid? Probably not. It probably needs a more tactical approach rather than, I don't think there's ever been any, I've never had an issue with the attitude of the Real Madrid players. I just think they've lacked guidance. Maybe that they've lacked the ability to take on the guidance that maybe Xabi Alonso was trying to do. But I don't think it. Their spirit and personality has been lacking. But will Jose, he'll have his own methods. It'll be us against the rest of the world. Everyone's against Real Madrid. He'll follow suit with Florentino Perez. They're discriminated against by referees left, right and centre. They cost them matches. The press hate Real Madrid. None of that is true, but that's what we'll be hearing next season with Jose Mourinho as manager.
So where does he... The players who are mainly in the spotlight for the criticism in terms of attitude are Vinny and Mbappe. I mean, I guess we don't know. We're not in the training sessions. We don't know whether they want to take stuff on board, don't want to do this out of possession, don't want to work hard without the ball. And if... Is Mourinho... How would you approach it if you're Mourinho? Does he have the tools for it? And by all accounts, Xabi Alonso is a real, you know, details perhaps too complicated for certain players to take on board. Not a confrontational guy. Where do you go as Mourinho? So you're obviously, they need to do more work when they haven't got the ball, don't they? Or they need to organise better. They need to do something when they haven't got the ball in big games.
Yeah, they do. But I think Barcelona over the years, they proved that with Messi up front, and maybe Luis Suarez towards the latter part of his career at Barcelona, that they weren't relentless in terms of winning the ball back. So there are other methods of doing that with a player like Messi, for instance, that barely broke sweat, but was still absolutely brilliant. And Barcelona were brilliant. So there is there are ways of accommodating players like Vinicius and Mbappe. And it's up to Jose to find that route. I mentioned in a previous podcast, I could see them being a counter-attacking team. I'm really intrigued. I'm slightly off track here, but what's going to happen with France? Who's going to play up front for France? Where's Mbappe going to play for France? Is it going to be Dembele playing up front where he plays for PSG now? Or are they going to be swapping about? So I think that we've kind of forgotten that Mbappe was a left-sided player. They had to sign him. And I'm sure they don't regret signing him and convert him into a centre forward where he does appear to like it now. I think my point would be they've lost a couple, they're losing defenders. The centre back position is an issue, I think, so that needs resolving. Kanate, I'm not sure if that's done yet or not. I think it pretty much is. And if not, it probably is going to be. It's a position, but I'm not sure he's the player that I haven't watched him a fair bit of Liverpool recently, that whether he's the right choice, but he's free, so I get that.
So why is that position an issue though?
Because Alaba has left,
but he hardly
Militao's constantly injured.
Yeah,
so you end up with
you just need another body because
Housen and Asensio
and Rudiger.
Rudiger is staying. Rudiger's contract was up, but it appears that he's staying now.
Is Kanate? I mean, Kanate is probably that level. He's not better. He's not better than Rudiger, I don't think.
I agree with that.
Or Housen.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right. All depends how much you're paying him and what he's signing on for is. But he's an experienced guy.
Yeah.
And he's free. So, yeah.
Yeah. They talk about a left back that Jose wants a left back to compete with Carreras, but they've got Ferran Mondi and Fran Garcia.
So, but how good are they? Can you upgrade on those?
Well, Ferran Mondi's injured, so they can't do anything with him, and he's been injured a lot, so I get that. Can you upgrade on Fran Garcia that might upgrade you on Carreras? I guess that's something that they are looking at.
Can't you? I mean, Carreras had a stinker in the Bayern Munich first game, didn't they? Absolute. Probably could do with better direction there. After Denzel Dumfries, right back. I don't mind that. I think good attacking. Attacking right back. I mean, you want attacking players
and a competition for Trent Alexander-Arnold. To be honest,
yeah.
I mean, Danny Carvajal leaving up. I guess Trent Alexander-Arnold was hoping that they might not sign such an established right back as Denzel Dumfries. So again, I think that's a legitimate signing, a really good signing, if that happens. I just think in midfield, if I've banged on quite a bit about the athleticism and the strength and the power of the midfield players that they have available, and they've lacked a Toni Kroos or a Luka Modric. So that would be one area where maybe they're hoping that Arda Güler, who had a really good season. I don't know if he's that player in midfield. I still don't know whether he's a wide attacking player or a wider midfield player, or whether he can be that player that dictates the more creative side of the game for Real Madrid. So where do you spend the 150 million on one player who's obviously going to be a Galactico? Elise would be pretty cool, to be honest, to see him in La Liga. Him on one side, Vinicius on the other, and Mbappe out front. But there have to be players that leave as well. You can't just keep collecting Dumfries, Konate, Elise. You know, that leaves you then. Does Brahim Diaz stay? I joked when I did the last game of the season.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And Real Madrid, that there was loads of these farewells, and even Arbeloa put on Dani Ceballos to say his farewell. And I said in commentary, he's got another year in his contract. So it's not as if they can't just, he doesn't have to leave. It's so he kind of was like reluctant to say his goodbyes, because he's probably thinking, well, he's going, he don't like me, so he's going, and I'm still here. And who knows who the next manager is? You know, it's everyone assumes he's going to go to Betis, but Betis can't pay the wages Real Madrid pay. So could Betis pay a fee and the wages? I doubt it. So there's got to be players that leave the club. As I said, Felipe Mondi's injured already. He's going to be out for the beginning of the next season. So that's not going to happen till January. Ceballos is under contract, and unless a move comes up that he agrees with, he'll still be at the club. I'm trying to think who else is. I mean, we talked about Alaba leaving the club because he's out of contract. I think that's it, really, isn't it? I can't think of anyone else.
Carvalho's gone.
Yeah.
So in terms of freeing up a fair bit of wages for him,
But they need to do something different, don't they? For 2 years now, no trophies, no success. Florentino Perez has got the gig again. So now something has to change. And is Jose the right person to do that? I mean, I have my doubts. I'll leave it at that.
I was wondering where you would go.
And I don't like doubting someone like Jose Mourinho, because he's been proven to be a winner, but it's been a while.
Well, 2015, he won the league.
Yeah.
So he hasn't won the league in a decade, going to a club that hasn't won anything in two seasons. I'm not saying no. Like I always say with Real Madrid, Barcelona, that clubs of that calibre, you're only ever a couple of good decisions away from being competitive again.
Yeah.
It's you know, players want to sign. People are afraid to play against you. There's always money coming in. So, you know, you're never a million miles away from getting things right again. But, but also right now, when we're thinking about pre-season predictions, I'm not putting them first at the moment.
I don't think enough has changed yet.
Yeah.
For us to dispute that Atletico Madrid are going to win the title next year. Please don't let me do that again.
So Bernardo, last thing on the midfielders then. So I'm giving you the choice. Well, 120 million for Enzo, or you get Bernardo Silva on a free, or Rodri, but I don't know, whatever. What are you doing about midfielders? Because they're not the same player, those three. I know they're all central midfielders, but they're not exactly the same.
No, I'd go Rodri and Bernardo.
Mm.
That would be the difference, I think.
Mm.
Rodri is a player, they definitely need that holding midfielder. Although Tchouaméni did it well towards the end of the season.
Mm.
When he was specifically asked to play that role, he did it well. I mean, we have to look at, I mean, Jude Bellingham had a disrupted season twice because of two injuries.
Yeah.
Fede Valverde was a million miles away from what he should be last season. Spectacular game against City in the Champions League. And he had a little period where he scored a few spectacular goals. But he was chopping and changing between right back and right midfield and centre midfield. And I think he massively underachieved. Now, I'm not suggesting you sell him, but somehow Jose Mourinho has got to get a tune out of him because he is quality. But there is the issue of what happened between him and Tchouaméni at the back end of the season. So the midfield does need Camavinga. His future is in doubt. I still think he's a good player and I still think he's a really good age. But the point I'm making is you can't just keep bringing in players. Some have got to go.
When I look at Real Madrid's squad and even their best 11, I don't see an awful lot wrong. I think that if I was Florentino Perez, I'd be saying to Mourinho, I also want you to coach. I want you to get the best out of this team because of two seasons they haven't. For two seasons, when you look at the players, man for man against other mega clubs, they're good.
Yeah,
you know,
can't get a better goalkeeper.
Yeah.
There's your starting point. You've got good fullbacks.
I would say Mbappe's best in the world. I think he'd be the first name if I was building it. You know, if he suddenly gave me a few billion and started rebuilding a club. But yeah, I'll take Mbappe, of course I would.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, you could tweak a bit around the edges. I don't mind the signings, you know, free bit of squad building here and there. But I don't look at it and thinking, oh, they must go out and start spending a billion quid on players.
Yeah, I think what we'll see from Real Madrid, my opinion, next season, we'll see a team that play normal Real Madrid football until they play big games, and then we might see a classic Jose Mourinho team against the Barcelona and Atletico Madrid in the La Liga, against Deportivo La Coruña and Racing Santander, be all guns blazing, and classic Real Madrid football.
Yeah.
Levante, Hatafe, teams like that, you know, Rayo. But the bigger games, then we'll probably see a different Real Madrid. Jose will hope it's a different Real Madrid. The issue then is, will the players take it on board? Will he be able to get that mentality into them that it's us against the world? We're the underdogs. We're going to have to play like this against Barcelona. Will Vinny do track him back and stuff like that? Will he play as a... But then when they play a 4-5-1, is Vinny going to be up and down the left flank and Mbappe playing up front on his own? I think that's what we'll see from Real Madrid. That we'll see the style from Jose Mourinho that we're accustomed to in big games.
Yeah, right. So there we are.
Served him well. I mean, it has served him well. I mean, not so much recently, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Inter Milan beating Barcelona back in the day when he got superstars to play...
See, this is the big question against Mourinho, isn't it? All of that success in his career is top, is front half of his career.
Yeah.
And it was, as you say, it was persuading world-class players to play like underdogs.
He did it at Real Madrid as well. He overcome Pep.
Yeah.
In the middle championship.
He did. And then third season, nothing. He didn't win again, did he? The second season, they got a lot of 100 points, didn't they? And, 100 and something goals. So,
But I'll tell you what, I'm glad he's come. I think they could have been a bit more open with their choice, and there are other managers around that haven't managed Real Madrid before. But it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
In terms of interest in La Liga and Spanish football and Real Madrid, it fits the bill, doesn't it? So we are clearly going to be talking about Spanish football again next season.
Yeah. Right, let's have a look at what else is around. So Barcelona, this Barcelona-Atleti troll battle going on about Julian Alvarez. You've seen, so the Atleti social media stuff was So I sort of got what they were trying to do. It came across more weird than funny, I
Yes.
thought.
And we have to remember that's nothing to do with Simeone and probably nothing to do with the president of the club, but it's someone who's got responsibility and to do that sort of thing, to
I mean,
stand up for their club.
they're right to defend their club. They don't have to serve up Julian Alvarez to Barcelona at a price that suits Barcelona's finances.
No, of course they don't. But there is an issue, isn't there, if Julian Alvarez does put his foot down. It's clear he wants to go. And it does make a club make a deal that they don't particularly want, but what's the alternative is to keep him an unhappy player who's an asset that will depreciate if he's not playing to the his best ability.
Or you trust that he's a professional and you say to him, mate, no.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but don't happen anymore. It's very rarely do we see that a player that has a move turned down that he was desperate for and then turns around and goes, well, not to worry, I'll forget about it now. It doesn't happen anymore. I'm sorry I laughed then, but it
So,
just
or you say to him, right, next year we'll sell you to a Premier League club and we'll get our money that way.
if he's got his mind set on Barcelona,
Yeah,
that's
but
the
if you're
problem.
Atletico Madrid, there's a very obvious case for not selling him to Barcelona. You say,
Oh,
well, hang on,
totally.
they're the team that we're fighting. We
Yeah,
want to fight them for the title.
you squeeze everything you can out of them. Go back for one of their players. It's oh, would you rather have the money from Barcelona, or do you have take one of their players or a couple of their players and cash and stuff? That it probably suits everybody to do a deal, and Atletico Madrid have to do a deal that suits them, as opposed to keeping on a grumpy, unhappy player. It will just continue on until it'll be on for the first half of next season. If nothing happens, it'll go in January. That sort of thing. So it's, I mean, losing Griezmann, if they lose Alvarez, it does give them money off the wage bill with Griezmann. It gives them an absolute fortune for Alvarez then to regenerate that the front line. So it probably suit it. My prediction is that Julian Alvarez is playing for Barcelona at the start of the season.
I mean, I tend to think you're right. If and it's all down to the money. Thinking he's magnificent at times, but he is patchy.
Yeah, but he suits Barcelona. That's what I would say. I think he suits Barcelona more than Atletico Madrid. So I think that was, I kind of. He had really good spells at the where you think when he first joined the club, I thought, do you know what? I didn't realise he was this good. He was far better than I knew he was a good player, obviously, but he was far better than I thought. Then it tailed off a bit, particularly in domestic football this season in La Liga. But then there was moments in the Champions League where you think, oh, yeah, that's the Julian Alvarez. And with him and Griezmann, they became kind of like the same sort of player, didn't they? Julian Alvarez wasn't that. Number nine, he was dropping deep, he was dropping wide, and but I think when I if I see him in a Barcelona team, I can see exactly what he does and where he plays, and I can see that fitting in. He's closing down, he works tirelessly to win the ball back. He's good on the ball, he's sharp at running in behind. It's there are players at Barcelona he could rotate with as well. So if you got Fermín López or Dani Olmo, if they're playing number 10, then he could swap into that position. I'm intrigued at what Real Madrid do. I'm intrigued in what Barcelona do. I'm intrigued to see what Atletico Madrid do because, again, like Real Madrid, I don't think Atletico Madrid need loads of changes. And maybe it's time to settle things down. But with Griezmann leaving, and if Alvarez wants to leave, then maybe it's not going to be a settling down period because they've signed so many players over the last 2 years that it perhaps a season where maybe one or two is all that's needed.
Definitely,
But that might be not the case now if Griezmann. There's talk of Soloff leaving as
But
well.
yeah, well, that would be too much, wouldn't it? But there were last season, there were many times at which they he didn't ever settle. He's never settled his team in since they I can't since I can't remember when Atletico
Yeah.
had a settled
I
team.
don't think he did it as much last season. I think he did it for different reasons last season. He did it because they were never in the title race. So there was a focus on the cups. But in the recent seasons, yeah, there has been, chopping and changing, too much chopping and changing before the game, during the game. But I thought last season I kind of understood it because they were never in the title race, so the focus was on knocking out Barcelona in the Copa del Rey and the Champions League and going as far as they could in that. Ultimately, it comes down as a failure last season, losing to Real Sociedad in the final, losing to Arsenal in the semi-final. It means that this season there's a need for improvement from Atletico. And is that improvement going to come from the many signings that they made last season? And the majority of them were good. So things will get better in their second season. But with Alvarez possibly leaving, Griezmann going off to the MLS, Soloth not particularly happy that he's very rarely been a first-choice striker. Now, does that change because the player's leaving? Or again, we're waiting to see on that. But I think the settling-in period for Atleti is preferable to going out and signing another six or seven players. Christian Romero is linked, isn't he, with Atletico Madrid?
Yeah. What do you rate? How highly do you rate him?
Oh, no, he's really good, John. He is really good. And it looks to me, in my opinion, that he's been angling for that move for some time now.
Yeah.
Which is a crying shame because he is really good. I mean, he's ill-disciplined.
Yeah.
He's aggressive. He's a nasty sod at times.
Yeah.
But he would fit the bill. I'd imagine Atleti would love to have him.
He's a bit old school,
Atleti. And the amount of Argentinians there.
Yeah.
With Simeone as manager, I can see why he's attracted to that move. But if his mind's focused, he's one of the top centre-backs in the world, to be honest. So he's a good player.
The World Cup starts, Terry, very soon, in a few days' time. Mexico versus South Africa. They put forward, they've messed it up in many ways. Let's be blunt about it. 48 teams is too many.
Yeah, I'm worried about it, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you could say many massive sporting events beforehand. Every Olympics, the stadiums aren't going to be ready. The whole thing's going to be a disaster. By the time it comes around, the stadiums are all ready. It's fine. But 48 teams is just too many, and you never go back. You know, there were many people. We remember 16 teams and 24 teams. I liked 32. It worked. 48. You've unbalanced it again.
Yeah.
To get almost a quarter of the world in it, which is, you know, with all due respect, I don't feel I need to see more of Curaçao than I saw previously, and I don't think I feel to need to watch them at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you know, because I've like properly gone at the World Cup previously and tried to watch. But you can't do that, obviously.
No.
Kill yourself.
And yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the fan experience as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, and I hope I'm wrong, but the stadium's not going to be full. Yet we had this furore about the pricing of World Cup tickets. They are
seven times more expensive than previously.
Apparently. Yeah. And I don't want to see a World Cup where I'm switching it on and the stadium's half empty.
Because they haven't been. 98 was the last World Cup, I think, where you can buy tickets just before games and stuff.
Yeah.
And since then, they've done it brilliantly. They probably, in truth, they probably undercooked it in terms of ticket prices and stuff because there was a black market. So if you went to I've been to World Cups and the ticket price would be like 100 euros or something. And they'd be changing hands at 200 euros. But so now what they've done is they, let's put it at 500, 700.
And every game's a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Everything that they can possibly extract every last penny. And I think, I always think a football club has failed if it's got any empty seats. I mean, I mean any at all. Because basically, change your pricing then. If people don't want to go, you only sell that game once. Every game is an expirable product.
Yeah.
The word for it. You only get to sell every game once and then it's gone. And if there were 10,000 empty seats in your stadium, then you failed.
Yeah.
That doesn't. So the bottom line, sometimes you might be better off in your bottom line charging the people who will go a fortune. And thinking, if we have a few empty seats, I don't care. But that's not my view. I agree with you. It's a massive failure if there are any empty seats at all.
Absolutely.
People around the world want to go and watch it.
What was this? I've forgotten the description of how they're selling the tickets, where it's
sort of adaptive pricing or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Hopefully those tickets come tumbling down for
Yeah.
some of the games that are.
But that you can only sort of do that once, can't you? Because if you've bought a ticket for 5 grand and then the bloke sitting next to you has played 40 quid
That's
the
the
day
problem.
before, then
Yeah, so I'm intrigued to see. I hope we don't see half empty stadiums, but I fear we will.
Let's see.
And that will be a, it won't have the same look as I get. I'm looking forward to the knockout stages. I get that all the big games, all the knockout stage games are going to be stadiums full. That's the real World Cup experience. But this World Cup experience that we're going to see with the group games, with a lot of the games that are involved, they're not. Yeah, there was a time in my life I probably would have got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch every World Cup game that I could. But I'm not this one. Switzerland against Qatar in the middle of the night. I'm not getting up for that. And is there going to be a massive appeal for 60,000 tickets for some of the games that we're referring to? Australia against Turkey. Turkey got a big fan base. Switzerland will have a decent fan base. Qatar, they can have a massive fan base in the States. Are the locals going to think, oh, God, I can go and watch a World Cup game? I don't know. Isn't their first and foremost their main sport, is it, in the States? It's growing massively. But it's not, it's, I'm not sure people will go just to go to a World Cup game when it's two teams that are not exciting for the big world-known talent.
Dynamic pricing is the word
Dynamic
we were looking
pricing,
for.
that's it.
That's the one. That's what we were looking for. Right, is
Yeah.
Spain going to win it? So the news is Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams might be fit for the first game, the Cup third game, 15th of June. Is there an advantage in? So they're a few days in before they kick off. Are you rushing them back, or are you thinking, never mind, we'll be fine?
Yeah, against Cape Verde. Yeah, if they don't win, yeah, they can do it. I think Victor Minioth was another player that was an injury doubt as well, but I think he's going to be okay. Yeah, no, I'd give them 20 minutes. Use it as that. Assume and hope that you're 2 or 3 nil up and you're going to win that. Their group is comfortable. And you hope you progress to the later stages with them 100% fit. They make such a difference. I mean, they were so impressive in the Euros when they played out wide. It was a surprise to a lot of people, particularly Nico Williams. And it's hugely important that they're both fit and can perform as they did in the European Championships.
Have you
But
any
it's touch and go, though. Not so much Lamine Yamal. He played most of the season. Nico has barely been able to string together a month or two this season where he's been 100% fit.
Have you any idea who's going to win? People ask me who's going to win, and I think, well, I can name it half a dozen. I love the World Cup. However, I think one of the bits of being realistic about football is what usually happens is that you stumble through with a bit of luck. And then afterwards, we write the legend that says that, oh, they were the best. There's no way Argentina won the last World Cup. They weren't the best team in the world. They
No.
lost to Saudi Arabia, didn't they? They
Yeah. They
got
struggled
through.
against Mexico as well, didn't it? It was touch and go whether they got out of the group.
And then they bit of resilience, bit of luck. I mean, they've got the luck of the draw this time. With like, I was just looking at miles traveled. They're traveling a lot less than anybody else. Argentina.
Yeah.
They might do it again, and then back to back. And whoa, well, that must have been the greatest of
No.
teams. Only the
Yeah.
only one I can remember recently was Spain 08, 10, and 12, where you're actually thinking,
Yeah.
oh, they would have won a league
Yeah.
of teams. So I'd give you half a dozen teams that could win
Yeah,
it.
I don't think, I think it's quite a shame actually. There's no one standout team that maybe you're looking forward to watching more than anything. And listen, I'm an old, pretty old guy now, and I can remember watching Brazil back in the 70s and 80s. It's the only time we ever saw Brazil play. We didn't see their players play in Europe. So until the likes of Falcao and one or two others started going to Serie A, they were like aliens. It was like watching a team from a different planet when you watch Brazil as a youngster. It's a shame that they're all playing in Europe now, so we know them. So there's none of those teams that you can't wait to see because we only get to see them every 4 years.
Well, they're centre forward players for Brentford,
Yeah.
so
Yeah. So it's the times have changed. So they've And unfortunately, in my opinion, Brazil have turned into a European team.
They've always gone. It's always been in and out with Brazil, though. Again, they're another one that we romanticise because my very strong recollection is like 82 was the back heels and the step overs and all of
Yeah,
that.
so
When they
that's
won it,
Socrates.
yeah.
Yeah.
When they won it in 94, that was a they ground that out. So that was Brazil. They had great periods and periods where
That was probably
they
the
kept
period where
people.
players started to come to Europe and
Yeah.
their identity changed
But
because they
again,
became.
70, going back into before I can remember. So 70 is the great iconic World Cup of people of your generation. We're
Yeah, I
not
did.
massively
I remember
different in
watching
age, but
final.
yeah, but people a little bit older, because I was born in 71. So people, I grew up with everyone talking about, with all every
Yeah.
football pundit say, oh, Brazil 70 were the best thing ever. And then the
It
74 team, watch some,
was.
but the 74. This game against Holland, like trying to like
Yeah.
kick each other's heads off in
Yeah.
this game, just.
Yeah.
And you think, what? Why should we
Where's the
risk
beauty?
it?
Yeah, no, the 70 to Rivelino and Tostão and Falcao and Gerson and Pele and Jorginho, and it was mind-boggling,
But Brazil
mind-blowing.
still, because I was in South Africa, we were in a bar in South Africa. There'd been another game on. Brazil came on, the bar absolutely filled up, and everyone started watching the game. So they do have that the Real
Aura.
Madrid Barcelona factor as
Yeah.
the international team. They're the one that people will turn up and watch. I mean, they've obviously got a chance. France have got great depth. Spain have got good
Yes.
players.
I still fancy Argentina as well. I think I'm looking more at the surprises. I think the Netherlands, Norway, Morocco. I'd love to see an African team go really deep as
What
well.
about the heat? Is that.
Yes, it is a huge, huge factor. It's why I've never considered England to be in with a chance in this tournament. And I holiday regular there. And I'm going out there again soon. There's no way on earth an Englishman can play football at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Florida.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to spinquest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I think their games, they got one game, I think one game in New York. It's exactly the same again. People are saying it's not going to be as hot in New York as it was in Tampa the other night. It is, I promise you. It will be. The game in Dallas is probably indoors with aircon. That's one of the games. And the other game is in Boston. It's still going to be hot in Boston. So the heat, and then we could end up playing anywhere. I think there is a possibility we play Mexico. So I've never held up much hope, even before the squad was announced. I think the chances have deteriorated since I've seen the squad now, in terms of England being, and I still see us being favourites by some people. If England win, it'd be an incredible achievement. I'd love to see it in my lifetime. I just don't see this squad as comparable to ones we've had in recent tournaments. And the climate is not just for England. I mentioned Norway might be a surprise sweet. The climate is so different. It really is. And it's going to favour certain nations in this tournament.
And
So
certain
it
playing
is massive.
styles. So you've got to, I mean, Southgate had already gone down that kind of very low energy kind of England, which really annoyed people because people don't like to see it. I guess Tuchel will do the same. It'll be quite a low energy approach from England.
But yeah, but in saying that, I watched Morocco against Norway. That was played in New York. And Norway's players were saying after the game, it's difficult, but we're slowly getting accustomed to it. But it's you have to change your style of game. Morocco didn't. I know it ended up 1-1. Loads of changes in the second half. The first 20 minutes of the game, they were relentless, Morocco. So there are teams that can play like that in that heat, in that climate, humidity. There are other teams that are going to have to try and slow it down. It's going to be interesting. No one mentions Germany anymore. No. Now, we know Germany can put together a tournament. It's not their best squad ever, but we know they can put together a tournament. But I do think the heat, so Brazil, Argentina, Spain come into that category, that might be, it might, and the African teams, it might help them.
There we are.
Rather than the Northern European teams, Belgium and England and Scotland and Sweden and Norway, it's going to be tough going. Sweden, I mean, I was coach of Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
We played in the Caribbean and the States. We had players that had to wear baseball caps when the national anthem was being played because of the sun.
Yeah.
Because they were bald, one or two ball players, and they were allowed to wear a cap.
Yeah.
Because the sun, it was so hot, so fierce, that every chance they had to cover their cap up, smothered in sun cream lotion. Yeah. Silly things like that. I had to laugh at Roy Keane saying, times moved on from when he went to America in the World Cup, and Jack Charlton was manager, and they, instead of a drinks break, they were throwing plastic bags of water onto the pitch. But Roy Keane says, she caught it, or it drops on the floor, it just split and went everywhere. So imagine like a goldfish bag, with a goldfish and chucking it out of play. It's just like a water bomb. So I guess that the sports science plays a huge part in it and everything. But if you're not used to it, trust me, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Florida. We have got the issues with the storms as well that happen on a regular basis. It's going to be a different World Cup, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I will say, Sweden aren't going to win it. Confident prediction.
Or Curacao.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll be back at some point.
I'm going to hold you to that, by the way. Sweden sweep the ball.
No, I'm 100%.
Graham Potter's a World Cup winner.
I'm 100%. Sweden aren't in it, are they? So.
Yeah, Sweden are.
Are they? I thought they weren't in it.
They qualified for the Nations League.
Did they?
They won a playoff.
Who did they beat in the playoff? I thought they. Or did they beat Ireland? Hang on.
Yeah, they definitely qualified because they finished last in the group. I think they got sent up 2 points from the whole campaign.
Yeah,
but at a playoff place because of winning their group in the Nations League. Graham Potter got the job and got them in the World Cup, and it was a bit controversial because basically they tossed off the qualifying campaign halfway through.
Oh, you're right. They are in. Sorry.
Didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. So they're in the group with Japan.
They would be the most unpopular winners of the World Cup in history if they win the tournament because of how they qualified.
Right, yeah.
So no, I can't remember who they beat in the playoff.
They are indeed in it. Did they beat? Hang on. I'm now thinking that they...
Right. I think they had to win two playoffs as well.
Yeah, they beat Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a decent team. So the fact they only got 1 or 2 points in the whole qualification was a joke.
Then Poland. Oh, they beat Poland in the final. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yes, it was a joke that they only got so few points. Isak was missing a lot of games. Kulusevski never played.
Apologies. So, we do have Swedish listeners, so apologies to the Swedish listeners for literally forgetting you're in the tournament.
It's going to be tough for the Swedes, the Scandinavians, and the Norwegians, and the Swedes, and the Dutch. I think the Dutch could be a surprise.
Right, there we are. I mean, you've said quite a few. So
I'm looking for more of that. Not to win it, but I'm looking for surprise packages that
I honestly,
there will be flops.
If I'm honest, I have no idea. And as just evidence, I haven't done a great deal of research on it because I just don't think you can know. Honestly, I think there are so many variables. I get the point. On the side of people who, obviously, if they've got a better squad, on the side of them. If they're used to playing in hot conditions, push it that way a little bit. But there are so many variables. So many games come down to penalty shootouts. You know, the great Croatian team that got to the final, they won two penalty shootouts on the way.
Yeah.
And then we say they're a great team and legends. But, if they hadn't, the goalkeeper saved penalty shootouts, was it against Russia or something? And so without that, Of course, then it's a totally different
And also,
story.
we got with the group stage, we've got this where it's difficult not to qualify, actually.
So I think probably what you'd be wise to do would be very much pace yourself through that group. Like Harry Kane being one, Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams, etc. Don't flog them to death.
My only issue there with England in particular is I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's quite tough, isn't it? Croatia, Ghana.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about Panama.
We'll beat Panama, surely.
Yeah,
Surely.
but we might need to have to win that. And,
Yeah.
Croatia, the first games, they're not as good as they were, but we say that about them all the time, and they're still
Yeah.
good.
But they do remarkably well, Croatia, don't they, for the size of the country.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we are. We'll leave it there. We'll come back and do some other stuff. What we must do, Terry, I'll say it now while we're on, is a Q&A with Patreons at some point,
Yes.
get some questions in. And we'll try and get some guests in throughout the course of the summer as well. And we'll keep an eye on the World Cup, and you'll see us, we'll be bleary-eyed and grey-faced because we'll have been...
Well, I've got a period where I'm going for a holiday and I'm out there, not working. So the kickoff times will be appropriate then.
But they'll just change, though, won't they?
But
Because you'll have to watch England mid afternoon, isn't it? I guess that would
yeah.
be. So yes.
Yeah. So
Right.
they'd be appropriate or
Okay.
not. Depends on what it's like sitting on the beach with my feet in the sea, thinking, should I go up and watch one of these games? But no. Looking forward to it.
Right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Terry. And we will see you all for another podcast very soon. Bye bye.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.